Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And you might recall a little while back, we had Jim Axelrod, chief investigative reporter for CBS News, on with us to talk about the Dishonor investigative series that is happening on CBS. And we're so excited to have a new development in this situation. Jim joins us again here on the National Defense. Jim, how are you?
I'm fine. We're along with Jess Kego, who is the producer of the investigation that we've been running this entire year. We continue to try to find out why the Pentagon is so slow in reacting to what amounts to an injustice that is affecting the lives of tens of thousands of veterans who don't have access to benefits they earn simply due to their sexuality.
It's crazy. Jess, welcome to the program. Thank you for taking the time also, and thank you for the work that you've been doing on this. And I'll ask you the same question I asked Jim when we originally started talking about this. Jess, was this just eye-opening to you? Had you heard anything about this?
Hey, Randy. Thanks so much for having me. You know, it really was. It's something that I think we sort of suspected that it was a chapter of history that got forgotten a little bit. And the more we talked to folks and the more veterans we interviewed, the more officials we interviewed, that really was the case. I think we interviewed Leon Panetta, former defense secretary who oversaw the repeal. And he really said the focus was on the future. And that's what we've really found is that there wasn't a lot of thought given to how to correct the harm past.
Yeah. And Jim, so basically, if you don't know what we're talking about, when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was the law of the land, and it is no more, hasn't been for a decade, a lot of people who talked about their sexuality, and if it was thought that they might be gay, then they were drummed out of the military to the tune of about 35,000 people, I think you said. And these people were deeply affected because not only were they given a less than honorable discharge, but then their benefits were taken away. They were marked for the rest of their life, and it's absolutely not fair. And a lot of these people have been trying to get their benefits back to reverse the decision on a lot of these cases. And like you said, Jim, the Pentagon, no action. And so the latest development is now there is a lawsuit, right?
There is a class action lawsuit filed that is attempting to force the Pentagon to deal with this. You know, the Pentagon is all along saying, wait a minute, there is a process in place so that discharges can be upgraded. In other words, if you have an other than honorable discharge, and if you are suffering the consequences of being unable to access a slew of benefits, you know, loans and tuition assistance and so forth, and it says right in your DD-214, you know, that your discharge papers, in some cases, it says, that you had, and it's sort of arresting to see in black and white, that you've been separated from the military. You've been kicked out of the military due to homosexuality. We interviewed somebody in this latest installment of our investigation, named Cheryl Farrell, and she sat there and showed us her DD-214. And I must tell you, it is still stunning to look at. And I think people who have sort of grown up, you know, it'll be a dozen years since the implementation of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell next month, September 20th. And I think there's been a whole generation of Americans who kind of feel like, wait a minute, did this really happen? And then you sit with someone like Cheryl Farrell. She shows you her discharge.
What a hero. What a hero.
She was unbelievable, candid, frank, honest, and says quite rightly, you mean to tell me that I can't serve something that her father did, her grandfather did? And all she said, all I wanted to do was, you know, do my 20. And she can't, as she said, because of who I love.
Yeah. And she was so great in your piece. And the thing that really struck me, and it is a matter of national security now, because here's someone who is ready to commit 20 years of her life to serve in the military. So, you know, you've lost somebody. And I think it was only after 10 months that she was kicked out. And not only is it heartbreaking for her, but We need her.
Randy, to your point, there are a number of people that have a range of skills in this country, and they, at the time of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, couldn't serve. And at the end of the day, it made our military a less prepared force. It actually compromised the safety and security of every American, because some people who had a skill set that was operating at the highest level were unable to apply those skills towards making the American military the best it could be.
Absolutely. We're talking to Jim Axelrod here on the National Defense, Chief Investigative Reporter for CBS News. And I'm watching this piece, and of course, now I think it's a fantastic thing with the class action lawsuit, Jim. But now the Pentagon has that to lean on. We don't comment on any pending litigation. So it just gives another thing to not comment on. And I was also just kind of laughing out loud when they said that the Pentagon planned to finalize 90% of these cases in 10 months. Really?
Yeah, I know. As we reported yesterday, you have somewhere near 35,000 veterans who have been unable to access the benefits. They've been discharged in many cases with other than honorable, and only about 1,300 have had their discharges upgraded. This process that the military says is a simple two-page application. I will tell you that the lawyer who is filing this class action lawsuit has been a social justice civil rights lawyer for decades. She said even with her legal education, she had trouble looking at the form and understanding it. How anyone is supposed to file this without a lawyer,
right?
I have no idea.
Oh, the Pentagon says you don't need a lawyer. You can do this on your own.
And, simple.
Yeah, and the attorney was great. And she was talking about the thing that also struck me was this is not about damages. This is not about damages. This is about doing what's right, restoring honor and integrity to these people's lives, and to get the benefits that they have earned. You know, that's
Cheryl Farrell says that her plan is when she gets her DD-214, which will hopefully reflect an upgraded discharge and will remove that language for why she was in military's estimation, why she was unfit to serve. And It says homosexuality. She says she's going to put that up on her wall in a frame, and then she's going to put her new DD-214 up in a wall, because she says both are relevant to understanding the history of this country.
Yeah. Is that so true? I was interviewing a gay woman today who is out of the military for almost, I think she's out for 11 years or something like that. And I said, were you in as part of the, when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was enforced? And she said, just at the very tail end of that. And I said, and what was your experience like? Did you have a problem? And she said, well, not really. She said, I served my term, but, you know, there were always comments. And she said, I just kind of brushed those off. But she did say something important, Jim, that I hadn't thought about. She said, I don't know anybody personally that had that kind of extreme situation happen to them, but I know a lot of people that were passed up for promotions, and those we'll never know about.
Well, that's the other part of this now, Randy, isn't it? That you have the clear-cut cases are easy to at least digest. You can be infuriated by the injustice, but what about the people who were drummed out of the service with cover charges? In other words, conduct unbecoming.
Right.
You were late to meetings, whatever the supposed offenses were, they were just cover charges. Some officer didn't like the fact that somebody under their command was gay or lesbian. And so there's a number of ways in which people's lives were affected that aren't as clear cut, don't show up in the statistics or the numbers. And so basically what it amounts to, though, is still a clear injustice.
Absolutely. And when I was watching the piece with Cheryl, my heart just went out to her, because she does come from a proud military family. And I'm thinking, what did she say? What did she say? What did she tell her family?
Right. Well, she said, now I will say, to sit with her is a very moving experience. Her eyes fill as she starts to talk about the fact that she just wanted to serve and she was told simply she wasn't good enough because of who she loved. There's still some almost some mystery to her that could possibly be something that was allowed to alter the trajectory and track of the path of her life. Her mother, she said, was always very accepting and loving, and she speaks about her with reverence, and that's moving. But then you think about, we've interviewed others. We've interviewed plenty of others who said, I wasn't out to my family, and I had to suddenly explain to them why I was no longer a member of the Navy or the Air Force, and try coming up as you're telling them why you're not. You now have to tell them something. You're forced. You were forced to come out well before you may have been ready, or forced to come out to a family that wasn't sympathetic or understanding. You know, Jocelyn Larkin, the lawyer, made a really good point, Randy. She said, imagine if this was on your driver's license.
Yes.
When you put it like that, you're like, this is absurd.
Yeah.
This is absolutely absurd.
And Jim, I so respect your reporting on everything, but especially in this case, while I'm watching you in the piece, I'm just thinking, you know, this goes beyond a report for Jim Axelrod. I mean, it really does. And I would imagine that everybody that I told the story to, number one, they have never heard of it. They can't imagine it. And they think it happened, you know, 80 years ago.
It belongs to some other part of our history.
Right.
As opposed to something that was just, as I say, September 20th will mark just a dozen years. But 12 years, you would think, Randy, is long enough for the Pentagon to say, hey, wait a minute. We were looking forward, but there were so many people that were left behind. We must do right by them. We must correct this injustice. And, you know, to your point, I've been doing this a while. I think I've been a reporter 34 years. There has never been a story that has touched me as deeply and emotionally as this one. And it is our job to simply present the facts, which is what we're trying to do. But sometimes it's different. It's more challenging than others as a reporter to stay away from the emotional involvement.
Because the Pentagon keeps calling you all the time?
Yeah, a lot of conversation with the Pentagon. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, Randy. I mean, there really is an ability here to avoid accountability. And we keep calling. We keep doing our job. We keep asking for comment. You know, it's not us, though. We're just, in a way, the media. But Jocelyn Larkin, the lawyer, again, and this is critically important to understand, she, 18 months ago, wrote a letter to the Pentagon and said, look, we have these issues. I have the data. We're very serious. I'm a lawyer. I don't want to file a class action lawsuit. I'd like to find other ways to resolve this. And what can we do to find a just resolution to such a significant and severe case of injustice? And you know what? I said, what happened? She said, sure. Oh, they politely declined to meet with me. So this whole thing, you know, never mind that they're not talking to us. How do you not talk to a lawyer who wants to present these things to you, and then they just say, no, thanks, no meeting?
Let's just get this resolved before it gets to a trial. And can the Pentagon not be embarrassed into something or ashamed of this kind of behavior? I guess not.
So we will. We do have a story coming up that will talk about how other government agencies are now working around the Pentagon to make sure that the veterans get the what they're entitled to. So that's the next piece we have coming up.
Oh, man. Oh, that's great. That is great. Yeah, once you get the VA involved, I mean, it shouldn't take all of that, Jim. I mean, I appreciate your legwork and your doggedness in getting this done, but man, it shouldn't take that kind of work to do the right thing, you know?
Well, all we can do is stay on it and keep asking questions, and hopefully at some point we'll have some answers that will make sense. Again, it's not us. There's 35,000 veterans at least who have earned benefits that they cannot access due to how they were discharged, you know, again, more than a dozen years ago.
And everybody you've interviewed in this investigation, everybody that has been deemed to be unfit to serve are the most patriotic people I've ever seen in my life.
All they wanted to do was serve.
Yeah.
And I think this is critically important. All they wanted to do was serve.
20 years. I mean, she wanted to do 20 years.
That's exactly right.
And the other thing I think about, Jim, is all of the people, no matter of their sexuality, are watching this, maybe on the fence about joining the military. Well, that doesn't help things.
No, and I think that we're, you know, sort of at a point in our society, our culture, where everyone, again, assumes this is, it sounds like it's something from 50 years ago, yeah. 75 years ago, right. 100 years ago. But when you talk about the fact that it's part of our recent history, I think folks who, again, as you've said, don't have their arms around it. Listen, let me put it to you this way. There are very few stories that you can tell, very few stories you can report on, very few stories that are subjects of dispute and discussion where there is rarely another, there is no other side.
Right, right.
So if you've noticed in our reporting, we never have somebody on who's saying, well, of course, but here's why it's justified.
Right.
This is one of those rare stories where there is no other side. There is no person saying, you got to understand the whole issue. This is why this situation is still in existence, and this is why it's justified. There is no other side to this story. There is only the injustice that perpetuates because the Pentagon refuses to do anything about it.
And Jim, what kind of response have you been getting from viewers?
You know, you touched on something, Randy. People wanted to serve. I think folks, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's sort of one of the truisms about life. People just want to be seen.
Yep.
People just want to be heard. And if somebody has been hurt, if somebody has lived in a state of pain, not through anything other than rejection of sort of their basic being, and suddenly, you know, folks are like trying to shine a light on it and say, hey, this is what's going on. And we're trying to figure out why the folks that could do something about it are not doing something about it. I think there's been a sense we've been hearing from all kinds of people who are saying, thank you. I've been trying to get somebody to hear me.
I bet they were surprised to hear from you initially that you know, CBS News was even ready to uncover something like this.
Well, you know what you hear a lot? You hear from folks who said, oh, I had just given up.
Yeah.
Either the process was too onerous, too complicated. I didn't have money to pay a lawyer. I didn't think I could ever do anything about it. Or they just were unaware that it existed. And while there is this application process, perhaps that speaks to the need to publicize it more and make sure veterans. I mean, it's funny. These are the people who have given the most or wanted to give the most and were unable to. And they're getting the least. And they're really it is such an easy, as I said yesterday in the piece, it feels like we live in a day and age where it's three keystrokes on a computer. And you can change somebody's status. Like it doesn't, you know, one of the last thing I'll leave you with, Randy, is that one of the ideas we keep hearing from, about is the idea that the burden should not be on the vet to prove that they were discharged unfairly. The burden should be on the military to prove why.
Absolutely.
And so so everybody should be given a blanket upgrade. So that you can get an honorable discharge. And then if there's a reason, and let's face it, sometimes there are compelling reasons why someone should not be given an honorable discharge.
Sure.
Having nothing to do with their sexuality, but there still should be in the record. And so if there is a case where the military is like, no, this person was involved in, you know, X, Y, or Z criminal behavior, fine. Then it's up to the military to point it out.
Right.
But otherwise, the burden should not be on these people who, let's face it, they've suffered enough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I say, such patriotism, such heroism that they have even coming forth now and talking about this and talking to you guys. Jim, thank you so much for staying on this. And thank you to Jess for all of her work and effort. And definitely the next step here, we want to hear about it.
Listen, I'll make you a deal right now. As often as you want to hear about it from us, we're happy to come on and talk about it.
Hey, the first time we had you on talking about this, because we hear from veterans every single day, and I can't tell you how many emails, how many comments from veterans we got that they themselves had no idea about this. And that made it, you know, even more sensational to me. But yeah, thank you for staying on it. And we'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much. And I do want to just assure everybody who's listening, Jess and I have no intention of doing anything but staying on this until we get some kind of answer, because it's the least that all of these veterans who have been discriminated against deserve.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jim. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again, Andy.
Be right back here on the National Defense.